Today we meet Jason Pittman from Perth Natural Resource Management.
For example, I don't think there would be any other way you could get conservationists, farmers, business owners, Aboriginal community around the table if it wasn't for example discussing water issues. It is the one resource that underpins everything, and for me World Water Day also brings home into how incredibly lucky we are. We have the privilege to turn on a tap and have instant clean water. We have the privilege to go to the local shop and purchase bottled water with the label thank you on it, and knowing that that money is going off to serve a good cause in another community. For me, it also makes me feel incredibly privileged, but also saddened by the quality of the environment that we live in and that we're willing to accept. We have the most amazing river here in Perth from, I guess I'm incredibly biased, but we do have an incredible space here in Perth, and that should evoke some level of stewardship or custodianship in everyone who lives in the city in order to protect it. And if we can have that ethos at a local scale, there is no way we can't broaden that out to the old adage of think global, act local. That's what World Water Day to me means.
Welcome to Understory, this 25th day of March, 2020. I'm Elizabeth Poe. Today on Understory, we highlight Sunday's World Water Day. The world is being told to wash hands, preferably with soap, reminding us of the miracle that is H2O and the life and hygiene it brings. It's a moment to remember that just under half of the world live in places of growing water scarcity. Coronavirus aside, in poorer parts of the world, 1,000 children a day die from preventable water and sanitation-related diseases. With coronavirus, many slum residents must cope with no taps and no sanitation. In fact, more than 2 billion people live in countries coping with a serious lack of water. This year, the United Nations is asking us to think about fresh water and climate change, and how the two are inextricably linked. The message has come through the World Meteorological Organization and United Nations Water, making a joint statement on their two international days. They say climate change is causing a water crisis. Policymakers must put water at the heart of climate action plans. Extreme weather is making water more scarce, more unpredictable, more polluted, sometimes all three. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres says warnings are necessary, but fear will not get the job done. The UN says adapting to the water effects of climate change will protect health and save lives. Using water more efficiently will reduce greenhouse gases causing rising temperatures. They say everyone has a role to play. So how about Perth? Understory reporter Adrian Glamorgan interviewed Perth NRM Environment Programme Project Coordinator Jason Pittman about World Water Day and the work of Perth NRM.
Perth NRM, we are a natural resource management body. If you're not familiar with what natural resource management is, it is the proactive, sustainable management of our natural resources. Most people will probably think oil or gas or something. It is not that. Natural resources are things such as our water, biodiversity, air quality, soil, and several others. So that's what natural resource is. Perth NRM is one of seven NRM groups in the state. And what we all do is we provide solutions to mitigate environmental impact on things such as climate change or agriculture. And in the context in particular for Perth, is population growth and unsustainable land management. Perth NRM is very unique amongst the seven NRM groups in Western Australia. We are the smallest geographically, but we have the largest population. So Perth NRM for us is not just necessarily managing the environment, but helping people to live more sustainably within it?
Well, the theme for this year with UN Water and the World Meteorological Day is water and climate change, noticing the interactions there. How is climate change impacting on the water resources of the Perth region?
In terms of freshwater flow, we are experiencing reduced rainfall due to climate change. We are a drying area of Australia. So that is actually meaning that we need to be a lot more adaptable and a lot more resilient in how we use and access freshwater resources, whether that be through desalination to supplement our dams or the use of groundwater. So we need to be a bit more clever with that. The other part is, which I talked about just previously, is the impacts of environmental flows. So when we're not getting that really good, those really good rain events or the rain amounts throughout the year, the Swan River in particular doesn't have that big freshwater flush, as I say. And again, as well as with the Canning River, we have to keep the Kent Street Weir closed a lot more often in order to mitigate saltwater intrusion into the freshwater system. So Perth is becoming a lot more adaptable and a lot more resilient to the impacts of climate change on our water systems. But in many cases, we do have a little bit further to go. There is a really big initiative in Perth called Water Sensitive Urban Design, which is using water in a way to actually help cool our city. So trying to mitigate the heat island effect, which is going to become more prominent with climate change. So how I like to say is we're moving away from a linear process where it's water in, water out. We're now starting to look at other ways in which how we use water to approach climate change and how to make our city a lot more livable in the future.
The United Nations report on water highlights the damage that's being done to forests and to wetlands. And I'm thinking of places like Mandurah or around Rockingham as well. And I'm wondering what sort of priorities is the Perth Natural Resource Management Group setting or aspiring to for our area, given that wetlands are under threat from urban development in particular?
Oh, that's actually a really good question. So one of our main things is one of our key priorities is to look at wetlands that have significance for the landscape. So those wetlands that are categorised under the Ramsar Convention in the Perth area, we actually have three particular lakes covering two different sites. But I think one thing as well is that even though there's these big, beautiful wetlands that do come under international protection agreements, such as Forestdale Lake or Besha Point, there are these smaller wetlands or these smaller pockets of wetlands which may not have these huge international values but are incredibly valuable for that local community. So when it comes to priorities, we use a mixture of different approaches. So we understand where there is significance from a national or international standpoint, but we also want to support grassroots actions on their own local wetlands, which in the big scheme of things may not be considered high value, and I say that hypothetically, but they are incredibly valuable for their local community and we wouldn't prioritise those any less.
And I suppose that the North-South Lake system that is a songline for Aboriginal people and also a hydrological system scientifically, that has to be taken into account as well.
Yeah, so with Perth NRM, a lot of our projects, we engage with the Noongar community where we can and where those opportunities are. For example, we've worked very, very closely with some of the Noongar elders around Forestdale Lake in particular, which if you were to go onto our website, we've got a wealth of resources from some of those elders. So where we can, and we do that quite readily, is we actually engage with the Noongar community to not just deliver these projects, but in many cases co-design them as well.
You're listening to Jason Pittman from Perth Natural Resource Management. Perth NRM works across landscape restoration, sustainable food production and behaviour change in our water catchment.
Well, you mentioned the Ramsar Agreement, which is about migrating birds. What about international policy frameworks like the Sustainable Development Goals? Have you plugged those into your work and your priorities?
Yeah, so when we actually design our projects, in many cases we actually use those to underpin some of our arguments for a project to get up and running. It's also really good practice to align any project with the SDGs.
Is there any other disaster risk reduction aspect to your work?
Yeah, for sure. So with climate change, one of the biggest risks, particularly in our more natural areas, is bushfire risk. Now, one of the elements of water-sensitive urban design is to actually retain as much water within the city as possible, again, to mitigate that heat island effect, but also to try and keep vegetated areas wetter for longer. So, for example, again, I'm drawing to Forestdale Lake, that area dries out where in previous years it actually didn't, or very marginally. And because it's drying out, it's posing as a massive fire risk. A lot of our drainage systems, they're built to simply funnel water out as quickly as it can. And again, these can become fire risks if they're left out to dry, and debris and weeds and everything can accumulate in there. So we are trying to manage water very differently and try to retain it in the system so that we can avoid the impacts of heat waves and bushfires and things like that.
You use that phrase, water-sensitive urban design.
Yep.
It makes a lot of sense, but what does it mean when you unpack that?
Oh, it can mean many different things to many different people. So what Perth NRM does in terms of a lot of our projects in the Perth area is looking at the conversion of drains to living streams. So again, previous management was that drains were open cut, get the water out of the landscape as quickly as possible to mitigate flooding. However, because of our falling rainfall, we need to kind of flip that on its head a bit and say, well, we actually don't want that water to be going out as quickly as it can, and to actually retain it in the urban area to nutrient strip the water so that we don't get these big algal blooms, to provide urban cooling, increase local biodiversity. So what Perth NRM does is it provides support to the community, local government and other stakeholders in converting their open cut drains into living streams, so that we're both water sensitive and biodiversity sensitive at the same time. For many other people, water sensitive urban design could be creating car parks that are penetrable for groundwater, so that when water actually falls, it's actually supplementing groundwater reserves rather than just washing out into the river.
It sounds to me like water-sensitive design also brings beauty to a city.
Yes, oh, undeniably. When you go to some of these areas, so Bull Creek, for example, if you ever go down there, it's gorgeous, and you'd be walking through there not realising that you're only 10 minutes from the city. If you ever go down to the Canning River, Kent Street Weir, like I mentioned, these beautiful areas that evoke a sense of place because they use water well.
What do you enjoy about your job most?
If you were to ask me that question 10 years ago, it would be I get to go out in the bush, I get to go out in the rivers, but my job has kind of evolved quite a lot now. One of the best things about my job is meeting people in the community and hearing their own environmental stories, whether that be a bunch of primary school kids talking about their favourite bird or their favourite park or something like that, or hearing from some of the community members who have had involvement in their local patch for 50 years and they can tell you how it's changed over that time. That's what keeps me coming back to this job and keeps me in the NRM space, is not just working out in the field but meeting the people. And the longer I stay in it, the more I realise how incredibly important that is.
Adrian Glamorgan and I have been involved in a 5-year-long project working our way up the Swan Avon Rivers. It's given us a chance to get to know the rivers as something more than just a flow of water. Around the world, people are asking questions about whether rivers should be given legal standing as systems worthy of respect.
We've gone for walks, we've done artwork, we've read Aboriginal stories, we've told family histories. And we've convened up in 2J at a wheat belt farm, and we've written out our recollections and written poetry and stories. And we're almost done this job of going upstream. But I think making a friend with a river is such an important thing, getting to know it and seeing it.
Yes. I think that's quite poignant in that when it comes to environmental protection, there's a big push across the world about actually granting not just wildlife, but actual environments personhood.
It's for legal status. And
yes, yeah. And I think that is something that has been lost across the Western world, is that these assets do have an essence to them that I believe should be granted the same rights as a person. And I think that's echoed across Aboriginal cultures around the world. And I think we are slowly starting to hear that and understand that and appreciate that. I'd love to see that happen in Australia more readily. I think in some cases we are still quite far behind, and NRM, I know that we readily try and promote it as much as possible.
So it certainly happened at Whanganui in New Zealand. And
that's it.
And I guess if you do walk the river, as Elizabeth and I have done, you get a sense that what's happening at the estuary of the Swan, you sense the connection with what's happening at 2J or the Avon Gorge through that wonderful forest. And I wonder, do you see the river differently now than what you used to?
When I was younger, yes. You know, it's hard to say. When I've always been incredibly environmentally conscious, even from a very, very young age. My grandparents lived down at down south at near Yarra National Park, so I've always been involved in natural areas, however that is. I think when I was younger, or particularly as a teenager, I saw the river as this really artificial being, I guess, because it was surrounded by the city. People used it in a very selfish way, you know, from my opinion. But as I get older and I start meeting people who understand or have that really long connection with their spaces, it does open up that perspective more. I start seeing the stories that the river can tell, or the stories that our wetlands can tell by hearing from people who've been involved in it for decades. And that, to me, opens up a greater appreciation for them.
Thanks for joining Understory this week, and for Adrian Glamorgan speaking with Jason Pittman from Perth NRM. Thanks to all the wonderful staff at RTRFM 92.1 for keeping us connected with a wider world. And don't forget to celebrate World Water Day by washing your hands and giving thanks for the tap that works when you flick it on, with water that is clean and life-giving. You can hop online, stream this and past programs, or download our podcasts. We'll be back next week when there'll be more to explore with Understory, Radio for the Planet.